Father, we give you the praise and the honor. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. Adonai. Elion. Elohim. Elohika. Elohino. Dodomikama. Thank you, Master. Be glorified. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Give it to him. We give you the praise. We honor you and adore you. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. The atmosphere is so sober. We trust God to see how it can be maintained as such. I will be speaking on the fire frequency, part 2. And our objective today is to understand the products of the fire. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 11, he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He had established that the approved frequency for kingdom service is the fire frequency. We also established that the approved frequency for generational impact is the fire frequency. So the frequency of fire, the fire frequency, is the frequency that is approved for the service of God. The fire frequency is the frequency for generational impact. When a person carries fire, when a woman, a man, has fire, what products do we expect? Number one is called spiritual intensity. Or call it intense spirituality. A fire Christian, a child of God on fire, is spiritually intense. Spiritual intensity, intense spirituality, is also spiritual vibrancy. Spiritual vibrancy. It is spiritual buoyancy. It's intense in the spirit. It's vibrant in the spirit. It's buoyant in the spirit. It is spiritual awakeness. He is not spiritually sleepy. He is spiritually awake. Spiritual awakeness. Spiritual alertness. Alert. Spiritually awake. Spiritually alert. There are people that are spiritually sleepy. And there are people who are spiritually in coma. It is worse than sleep. When somebody is asleep, he can be woken up. When somebody is in coma, you don't wake them up. There are different levels of coma scale. We're not going to that. But when somebody is on fire, he is spiritually intense, means that he is top of the range spiritually. Somebody say top of the range. You know, top of the range kind of vehicles. So I believe today that there are people here and people watching online who spiritual level of intensity will shift level today. In spiritual intensity, you are not being towed with a towing van. When you are spiritually intense, people come around you to acquire spirituality. Am I communicating? Take your seat. They come around you to acquire spirituality. Listen, when you are spiritually intense, the thought of you evokes revival. When someone thinks of you, they feel revived. When your picture comes to their face, they feel like praying. When someone hangs around you, there is a climate about you that provokes some happenings. When I was in the university, fellow students, fellow members of the fellowship will come to my room, our room, myself and my roommate, three of us. Why are you here? They say they just came to contact the atmosphere. They came to catch the atmosphere and step out for a while. When you are spiritually intense, there is something about you for people to catch. There is a climate of spirituality around your life. Am I communicating? It was like the kind of climate that was in Naioth of Ramah. When Saul sent people to go and accost Prophet Samuel, and they came to the city of Ramah, Naioth in Ramah, and as soon as they arrived, they began to prophesy. They sent another set, they arrived, they began to prophesy. Not only was Samuel carrying a spirituality, he carried that spirituality, and the spirituality covered the whole city. They feel something. How many of you felt something as you stepped into these premises? How many of you feel something as you walk around in the night, in the evening? I saw a couple of you yesterday night. You didn't want to leave outside. Just wanted to remain. There is something to feel. There are people who sleep in here and just have an encounter. Diverse encounters. Deliverance encounters. You will catch something. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I am catching the fire and I'm living here. I will leave this conference with intensity of spirituality. When they see me, they will know that something happened. It's okay. Take your seat. All right. What are the pillars of intense spirituality? The pillars of intense spirituality. I want to quote it correctly as I wrote it. What are the pillars? All right. Number one is prayer vibrancy. Prayer vibrancy. There is a vibrancy to prayer life. Nobody begs you to pray. You literally pray like you drink water. As it is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, praying always
with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, praying always with all prayer, praying always with all prayer, with supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 18. Paul the apostle speaking said, I thank my God that I pray, I speak with tongues more than you all. More than you all. More than the whole of the church of Corinth put together. Prayer vibrance. Jacoba kataka lakaba karakataka shaka. Jacoba kataka lakaba karakataka. Jacoba kataka lakataka. Acts of the Apostles chapter 12 from verse 4. Acts 12:4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made. That word without ceasing, if you put it in the Greek, it is prayer was made stretched out. Need you want to do like an adjective for it to be stretch out edly, stretch out edly, stretch out edly, stretch out edly. Prayer was made stretch out edly. So like 20 something years ago, 30 something about the year of 1988-89, I thought in our little prayer in our house then, I thought on what I called stretching out in prayer. And I told them, I said, in stretching in prayer, you start praying, and when you pray until you feel that you are tired and you have finished praying, start again. And when you feel that you have tongued and prayed, after you have finished all of that, start again. By the time one young man did that, he did 21 hours at a stretch. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? One other guy around that time in those days, after he had done about 18 to 19 hours, he stepped out of his room and a madman looked at his face and started running. What I'm saying is not what you may be able to carry out when school is in active session. Except if you are studying courses that give you such permission. But this is workable in holiday period. You see, when I am able to pray for 10 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, by discipline, maybe for a week, 7 hours or more, and I discipline myself to be that rugged, you know that if my prayer life drops, it can't drop to even less than 1 hour, no matter how much it drops. It can drop to 2 hours, it can drop to 3 hours. Why is this necessary for you? It makes you lay very brutal foundation for the future. The time comes in your life where people can't explain the happenings around you. They can't explain the events of your life. You have stored, you have made spiritual investments. You made a lot of storage ahead of the future. Am I communicating? Nobody begs you to pray. There was a time in my life, I was literally almost praying almost round the clock. One of my siblings got so concerned because all the time he saw me, my mouth was moving. Sir, hope this guy is okay. Is everything okay? Now, don't feel bad or feel low if you are unable to do any of the things I'm saying. All I'm saying is, don't be lethargic and retarded in prayer. don't live such a life where you are struggling in prayer. Like I have said to you, when you come to such a point and you are able to pray extensively, pray like voluminously, pray berekatetiously, as we say, when you come to such a point, you are able to make very concrete investments ahead of your future. Prayed ahead of 10, 20, 25 years as you are praying in the spirit. And the time comes where things are moving effortlessly for you and people are wondering what is happening. Number one is prayer vibrancy. Number two is fasting buoyancy. Or vibrancy, the same word. Where fasting is not something you do during emergencies. Where fasting is a regular feature of your life. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 26, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 26, Paul the apostle recounting his in journeys often in perils of waters. Now move to verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in fastings. Paul the apostle is speaking of fasting as a lifestyle, fasting as a regular schedule of life, as a regular schedule. In Matthew chapter 6, we can look at that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. When you fast, when you fast, when you fast, when you fast, not if you fast, when. Fasting is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's compulsory. When you fast, it is expected to happen continuously. When you fast. Am I communicating? Most people fast when crises arrive or arise. But spiritual people fast. Spiritually intense people fast as a lifestyle. There is something we call the consecrational fast. Where you are not fasting because you are trusting God for husband or for wife. You are not fasting because there is a diagnosis in your life. You are not fasting because they say there is a witch looking for you. You are fasting to maintain temperature. You are fasting to maintain spiritual authority. You are fasting to live ready. You remember in Matthew chapter 17 verse 21, when the disciples of Jesus Christ tried to cast out a devil and they could not cast that devil out, and Jesus said, how be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This type does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Can I ask you a question? What did Jesus mean? You met a devil. You wanted to cast the devil out. And you could not cast that devil out. So, you leave and go and fast before you return back to that devil. No. The fasting that you will deal with that devil, you fasted it already. The fasting that will deal with that devil, you fasted it already. Smith Wigglesworth said, don't get ready, live ready. If you get ready, you are getting ready too late. Because the situations and challenges of life will not serve you notice. Nobody will come. Now, one of our lecturers in medical school, you just come for lecture and you say, put away all your books. You are now about to write a test. I mean, the normal teacher and lecturer will tell you, test is next week Friday, test is next week Wednesday, test is all of you the next class. This one, the moment you arrive at a class, you came for normal lecture, he said, put away your books. You are set for a test. And he said, no, sir, you didn't tell us anything. He said, listen, you are studying medicine. Do you know what he said? He said, no patient will tell you what is worrying him before he arrives. He said, so, doctor, I am meeting you tomorrow with hypertension. So you go and read around hypertension to know what to do for him. You go and read around diabetes to know what to do for him. He said, no, you don't, nobody does that. Once they come, you are ready to attend to them on the spot. You see, that is the training now. You should be ready to answer any question now. You don't need to go and read before you come. Because in real life, you won't read before you come to the clinic. That's how the spiritual journey is. Fastings often. So, you have a day in the week or 2 days in the week where you fast from morning till 6 p.m. from morning till 3 p.m. or where you do a 24-hour fast. 24-hour fast mean one whole day. I ate last time. I ate by 6 p.m. yesterday. And I will not eat again till 6 p.m. today. That is whole 24 hours. It works like fire. Am I communicating at all? Or the morning to evening. And so you have such a regular fasting schedule. Father, I am not here to ask for money. I am here to maintain fire. Now, let me give you, I told you this story before, but let me apply it to here now. In the wildlife park in Kenya, please take your seat, where I traveled to the national park in Kenya. And while we went around, the tour guide that was leading us, he said something. He said, once in a while, the lion will come out of the forest and roar. And the roar will be heard 5 to 8 kilometers away, radius. Everything hears the lion. Just once in a while, I will roar. And I asked, what is the meaning of the roar? What will he do? Why does he do it once in a while? Is he looking for anything? He said, no. It's not that he even saw a prey. It is roaring for territorial maintenance. Somebody say territorial maintenance. Just to let every other lion know the lion is here. To let the jackal know a lion is here. To let the dingo know a lion is here. To let the hyena know a lion is here. Just a king is in this place. That's right. That is what the regularity of the fasting and the prayer does. For charging up authority. Papa Yereko says you need to charge to take charge. The regular prayer is the regular fasting and prayer, especially in the spirit, is charging up to remain in charge. I fasted once a week in medical school. Once every week, morning till evening, I fasted. And most times breakfast was not really a feature. So fasted once a week. When I got into relationship later on, before I got married, I now increased the fasting to twice a week. One fasting was for me, the second fast was for us, and for children yet to be born. We're fasting in agreement for the success of our life together, the success of our future together, the success of our offspring together. At a point, she is somewhere and I am somewhere else. By virtue of duty, but the fast was maintained, and prayer was prayed still together across phone or whatever means it was at that time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? To last, you must fast, and if you have a future, it is imperative that you make deposit into that future. Hallelujah. So, when we say somebody is spiritually on fire, the first thing is he has a prayer life that is intense. The second thing is he has a fasting life that is buoyant. And number three is passion and discipline. Put it this way, word, passion, and discipline. There is passion for the study of the word, and there is discipline for the study of the word. That is a third measure you use to know that someone is on fire. When we grew up in the Lord, you will never catch us without the copy of the Bible. Bible that is complete, that is pocketable, like Old and New Testament, or that is inside a bag. There are two things you will never catch us without. University students, you can't catch us without a copy of the Bible and without copy of tracts. It was permanently in possession. The reading in the library, or reading in the places of reading, the table on which we were reading, the table content was not complete until the anatomy book and the physiology book is there, and the Bible is also here. It's not complete. It's not complete. That is, you read for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, the break time is a passage. That's right. You don't generate enough just like that. You don't generate fire just like that. Am I communicating at all? I mean, so that is, you made it impossible for you to say that academic work or something else destroyed your spiritual life. It was impossible. It was impossible. Check yourself. Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I think at that time we had Franklin already. The Franklin Bible. How many of you remember that one? The one that you press that has that you read the Bible electronically. Not the type of today, but there's one that Franklin then. It was already available. Very, very sweet. Made life easy. I'm not sure if there was audio then, but there was that Franklin Bible. The Dick's Annotated Reference Bible was there. Thompson's Chain Reference Bible was there. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. These were study tools. The dates will link you from one verse to another. That is, you saw this verse, it will connect another verse that looks like this verse. Thompson's Chain Reference was also doing that. We were not planning to be pastors. I had no plan to be a pastor. Just a Christian, a child of God on fire. And all these things were tools available. It is a healthy thing to have a daily reading plan. 4 chapters of the Bible in a day will make you cover the Bible in 1 year. That is the Franklin I was talking about. Anybody know this? You know this? The generation that knows this. How many of you know this? Can I see your hand? Wow. See all the children at the back, they are not aware. Yeah, that's the Franklin. Very, very sweet, very beautiful, very easy. You can type whatever you are looking for. It will bring it all out for you. Am I communicating? You read 4 chapters in a day. You finish the Bible in 1 year. You read 8 chapters in a day. You finish the Bible every 2 months. You read like 16 chapters and you finish it like every 4 months. Let me go easy. If you read, okay, I think I've missed it about, but I know that if you read 20 chapters, you finish it in 2 months. Now, if you read 40 chapters, you will finish the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 month. So there were seasons in my life where I would just lock up myself and just finish it in a month. 20 chapters in the morning, prayer in between, 20 chapters in the night. By the time the month is over, I was through with the Bible. Now, you know what that does for you? It gives you information base. It gives you reference base. The reading of the Bible makes available revelational reference, such that when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you using a verse, it is easy because the verse is there. He said he will bring to your remembrance. So he cannot remind you of what does not exist. It's separate from study. Study is where you sit down with a verse to get light out of it. You sit down with some verses and get light. What that does for you, it gives you depth and then explodes your faith. That's what that does for you. Explodes your faith and then transforms your life. The reading gives you reference availability. Am I communicating? The insight in the word gives you depth, gives you light, changes your life, explodes your faith. All of a sudden you saw something you never saw before, and your faith is exploded. Change happens. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. So when you leave here and you return back to school or to your home, and you want to confirm that you are intensely spiritual, your prayer life, your fasting life, and then passion, word passion, and discipline. Number 4 is praise and worship passion. The climate of worship especially is the climate in which we soak in his presence. Everyone who is on fire for God has a passion for God, a passion for his presence. Am I communicating? Passion for God. Everyone who is on fire for God has a passion for the presence of God. And there is nothing that conveys the presence of God like the climate of worship. Psalm 22 and in verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, thou art holy. Psalm 89 verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 100 and in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So praise and worship literally keep you in his court. Psalm 84 verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the cause of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The presence of the Lord. I remember in our time, There was a lot of Maranatha worship, a lot of integrity worship, and a lot of vineyard songs. It was flying around on the campus. For me as a person, my study was not complete until the worship is in the background. How many of you remember that cassette deck they call Twin Cam? It has the capacity to carry two tape recorders. Tape recorder, just open it, put it inside. Twin Cam. And then it's right there, and then the cassettes are everywhere, not CD. I'm sure there are babies here who don't know cassette. Not to talk of record. Do any of you know record? I use record too. Record. Listening to B.J. Thompson. Singing, what do you call it? Singing country music. Very, very deep. Yeah, riffs. And I love them. You know, but the climate was dense. In my own study, it was just dense. Some people say they can't do it, but for me, that was the best climate for study. Dense with worship.
Praise the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Holy is He.
Was that a twin cam? Okay, this is another time. There is a time that it is front and back. That is here and there. It is one. It comes out, and then the front and the back of it has the spaces for the cassette. Does anybody still have? Do you still buy cassette? Praise the Lord. And so every time your worship and praise life is drying up, your passion for God is dying. If you are passionate for God, whatever carries His presence attracts you, including the word, including worship. Anything that carries His presence attracts you. Attracts you. Anything. Praise and worship passion. And I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with a singing voice. It has nothing to do. It only has to do with passion for God. Pillars of intense spirituality, number 4, is praise and worship passion. Number 5 is sacrificial giving and living. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial living. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and in verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sacrificial giving, a living sacrifice. Your life is literally a sacrifice for God, a sacrifice for your generation. In your resources, in your time, your resources especially. I started tithing from the year of 1986 in high institution. That is 34 years ago, right? Is that 34 or 40? 36 years ago, from pocket money of 30 naira. Again, I wasn't planning to be a preacher. I didn't think I would be a preacher. And the accuracy of tithing has not broken for one day for 36 years. Am I communicating? Any spirituality that does not affect your resources is fake. Anything you, any level of passion. you have for God that does not touch your resources is not genuine. It's not.
Sowing seed, giving givings as a student. Not that I was planning to be a pastor,
but I saw it in scripture. Now I'll tell you some stories. Brethren came to our hostel room, took the food. It was for everybody's food. I'm sure it is still like that in some places. When I newly got married, I just married like 1 month. So I was still very, very green in marriage. And still at the age of students, because I married at the age of 26 plus. Okay? When I got newly married, I was going to 26. I married in April. My birthday is June. Yes. It will be 2 years and I'll be married. What happened? They showed something. All right. See what happened. And I was invited to come and preach somewhere. I finished, and in those days, like as I am doing now, the preaching was very, very brutal. Deep things that you are sober. After I finished preaching and dropped the mic, the next person that came to pick the mic, thank God for that word, powerful. So, like we said, the contribution that we say everybody should give. How many of you brought your contribution today? I said, what? Contribute what? I went up. It's a church. I broke the protocol. I said, excuse me. Give me the mic. He gave me the mic. I said, you know what? The message you just heard is so intense. Please, I want you all to go home. Meditate over what you have heard. Apply it to your life. Please, how much are you trying to raise? What is the total amount of the contribution? When he told me, I said, me and my wife will pay it. Don't bother anybody anymore. We will pay it. We paid it. Out of doctor's salary of 2,400. Am I communicating? The things you see didn't start today. You paid money on behalf of everybody. 10 naira, 1 naira. I don't know how much they were trying to donate. We paid all the money you want to raise. Tell us we paid it. I remember the church like yesterday. One day I traveled out of home. There was, what do you call it now? A meeting that held. A pastor came and preached on sacrifice. Whatever you have, give. My wife gave her cloth and gave my cloth in my absence. How many of you know if I was a bad husband and I didn't know the God, I would go and collect the cloth back? That is, you can give your own, but not my own in my absence. But she knew me. She knew if I was around, it would be the same thing. She gave her cloth, gave my cloth. Today, I don't struggle to wear any cloth. Anybody who struggles, say, this man can dress, so he's wasting his time. I don't waste money on cloth. I don't waste money on shoes. I don't know the last time I went to the market to look for a shoe or wristwatch. Many years ago, a sacrifice opened that way. Am I communicating? And I can assure you, it works. When I preach on tithing today, I saw it work for me as a student in the high institution through the university. I saw it work and I saw it in the Bible. And I don't preach it because I want somebody to give. Neither do I preach it because I'm looking for the money of the people or the church is looking at. It worked for me. And anything I have proved, I will preach. Because I know it will give people proofs. Somebody say aloud, amen. What number are we? sacrificial giving and sacrificial living. If God has touched your heart, it will reflect in your hands. If God has touched your heart, it will reflect with the state of your hands. Now, let us go to number 6. It is kingdom service passion. Kingdom service passion. Exodus 23 and in verse 25. He said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. Kingdom service passion. When God met Saul of Tarsus on the road, the first question Paul asked is, what will you have me do, Lord? Acts chapter 9, I think around verse 9 thereabout. What will you have me do? When you are in love with Jesus, you want to do something. If God has conquered your heart, you want to do something. When I rededicated my life to Christ, in the year of 1986, 12th of May, I went to the campus fellowship that was then, that was a Deeper Life Campus Fellowship. I went ahead of the other people who were coming for the fellowship. Entered the fellowship venue, cleaned out the place, and then stood at the entrance and began to welcome people into the service. This is member day one. I am sure that the old members will be wondering, which usher is this? He may have come from another location and is doing ushering work here from zero location. Not just the zeal of God has consumed me. It burns in my soul. A driving force that cannot be stopped, a fire that cannot be quenched. The zeal of God has consumed me. It burns in my soul. A driving force that cannot be stopped, a fire that cannot be quenched. Don't be an executive Christian. You may not become a pastor later, but what you do for God today determines what God will do with you tomorrow. It determines what God will do with you tomorrow. In the fellowship, there must be something you should be able to do. In the counseling, the prayer band, somewhere. At a point in my life, I was almost everywhere. Kingdom, service, passion. You know that a man is on fire by his spiritual intensity. You know that a woman has spiritual intensity by their prayer life, by their fasting, by their study of the word, by their worship, by what else? Sacrificial living and giving, by kingdom service. Number 7 is soul winning passion. I told you already, we never moved without with tracks in our possession. Soul winning passion. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. We saw the expression of Paul the apostle. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. When we sat in a taxi, it was as if it is a sin if you didn't preach. Nobody said it to him, but it just felt like that. I remember one day we were going to Calabar. Inside the bus. Around the come side. After sitting for a while and having preached, around the come side, I stood up and began to preach in that bus. The fire fell. People gave their life to Christ. I gave call for those who needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost inside the bus. The fire fell. They are blasting in tongues inside a moving bus. People falling under the anointing inside the bus. People being healed inside the bus. The only thing I thank the Lord for is that the driver didn't fall under the anointing. That would have been very risky. Except if the one who fell in under the anointing would take over the steering. That was how rugged we functioned. Am I communicating? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That is, the fire will make you at least talk to your classmate. Talk to your coursemate. I have a medical doctor. He may be watching now. He's a consultant, public health physician. He has trained and raised many, many medical doctors. He sent me a text message the other day, how I assisted his faith to stand in the Lord, got infused with the Holy Ghost, and all the things. Today he's an evangelist doing rural missions. He's going from place to place, doing all manner of exploits for God. He traced it to university days. I met one young man one time. Caught him in the night. He was high on Indian hemp. By the time I finished praying, preaching to him and leading him to Christ, you know what he told me? He thanks God that I led him to Christ today because he was to be initiated into the cult tomorrow. He was rescued from the devil at that time. That young man. He's a pastor today. On fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Woe is me if I preach nothing. What was a Muslim who gave his life to Christ? And the moment he gave his life to Christ, literally raised him. Every time we're in a meeting, pray like this, he will stand beside me and be praying and be monitoring my mouth. One day I told him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm watching how you are praying. When I prayed for him, laid hands on him, and got him filled with the Holy Ghost, he prayed in tongues for about 6 hours non-stop. After he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Today he's a consultant, obstetrician and gynecologist. Has his own hospital, and also pastoring a church. Am I communicating? You may not know. Now, everyone who is led to Christ under him, is under a spiritual tree. You led somebody to Christ, that person led another person to Christ. And he led another person to Christ. You cannot confirm that you are spiritually intense until there is a passion for soul winning. It's not that you may not do the typical prayer, repent or you go to hell. That's not what we're talking about. You are concerned about people and you invite your friend to the fellowship. Can I pray with you about something? You are friendly with them. Can I pray with you about something? Is there something you are trusting God for? And you take it on and on like that. Showing them the love of God. Eventually say, you know what? The beginning point of every challenge is to hand over your life to God. Can I lead you in this prayer? Pray this prayer with me. And so on and so forth. And you are making that little effort. And that little effort translates into generational impact. Somebody say aloud, amen. Amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 16 verse 20. They caught fire. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. They went forth and preached everywhere. Hallelujah. That was number 7. So number 1 is what? Pillars of spiritual intensity. Number 1 is what? Prayer vibrancy. Number 2. Fasting, buoyancy, and vibrancy, number 3. Word, passion, and discipline, number 4. Praise and worship passion number 5. Sacrificial giving and living number 6. Kingdom service passion number 7. And number 8 is discipleship passion. Discipleship passion. This is where many people are lacking. John chapter 15 and in verse... All right. Let's start from verse 1. John chapter 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now go to verse 16. Okay, let's read that verse 5 first. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I ordain you, go and bring forth fruit and make the fruit to remain. Bear fruit is evangelism. Make the fruit to remain is what? Discipleship. Bear fruit is evangelism. Make the fruit to remain is discipleship. Give birth to the baby is evangelism. Make the baby live and grow is discipleship. Am I communicating? This is the only thing I'll say to you, and then I close around here. Just make sure you have fire enough for at least one person to desire to be like you. Did you hear what I just said? Make sure you have enough spiritual fire, enough spiritual results to make at least one person per time to desire to be like you, to desire to learn from you. Let at least one person be following your footsteps. I just told you of the young man now. Who said he wanted to stand beside me and watch how I prayed so that he will pray likewise. Ensure that at least one person per time is learning something from you. One person is asking you questions. One person wants to understand your secret. One person wants to become like you per time. Is that not what he meant? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, and God blessed him. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Listen, the proof that you are not wasting your life is that you are reproducing yourself. One confirmation that your life is not being wasted is that your life is being reproduced in others. Am I communicating? Don't just be satisfied with how fine you are dressing, how good your hair is, or how smart your dress is, or how anybody is hailing you that you are shining, you are rocking life, or whatever it is. Or you are doing very well in your academic work. All that is necessary. But who is learning from you? Who is following your footsteps? Who considered themselves blessed that your mother gave birth to you? One day Jesus spoke and in the crowd, and one woman said, blessed is the breast that gave this man suck. Do you know the meaning of that? It was for my sake that your mother gave birth to you. In this life of yours, who is thanking God that the pregnancy that carried you was not aborted? That the pregnancy that carried you was not a miscarriage? Because they know they would have lost majorly if you were not born. They would have lost majorly if you were a miscarriage. That is the measure of your life. Who are you influencing positively? Who are you touching positively? Who is following your footsteps? And I've said it over and over. If nobody wants to be like you, if nobody is asking you questions on how to become better, if nobody is taking steps after you, in all probability, your life is being wasted. Somebody say, God forbid. Stand up on your feet. You live here today with a determination. I can't live a wasted life. I must live an admirable life, enviable life, a life that provokes followership. You don't beg followership, you provoke it. A life that provokes followership. A life that effortlessly provokes followership. You are a generational light bearer. And then people are glad to follow. Those who know the road will always take the lead. Oh, you take the lead if you know where you are going. The wise man said the whole world will stand aside to allow a man to pass if he knows where he is going. And they will follow you effortlessly. I am grateful to God that God did not allow my life to waste. Whether it is in industry, ministry, even right from the university in those days. Plenty. One young man came the other day. He said, I was your boy in the university. He followed me for every program. Every program he followed. Birthday parties were evangelistic outreaches. All manner he followed. That is it. Ask yourself this question as I am standing now. When last did somebody ask me a question about my prayer life? How to be better? When last did somebody ask me a question on how to become closer to God? When last did somebody watch my life and told me, I want to become like you? I like everything about you spiritually. Not hairstyle, not dress, not shoe. Because all those are temporal things. Dust shall return back to the dust. And the spirit will return back to God. Father, I cannot waste my life. I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you. Can you give me that sound? Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, as an instrument of love. Let me be acceptable. Let me be pleasing to you. There's one reason I'm alive, and that is to live for you. Nothing else is worth the while. Nothing else is valuable. Take me, Lord, take me, Lord. Oh, awesome. Let me be acceptable. Let me be. Oh. And that is to live for you. Nothing else is worth the while. Nothing else. Lord, Lord, I want.
Lord, I want to see your face.
Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live for you.
I have just one life to live.
I have just one life to live. And it comes to glorify you. I am yours, O Lord. And for all eternity.
I have just one life.
I have just one life.
Glorify you, I am yours, O Lord. And for all. Second verse. Help me not to waste my life.
Help me not to waste
my life
on those things that matter not.
Let me live
within your plan
and your purpose for me, Lord.
All I have is yours.
All I have is yours.
Where you send me, I will go.
Where you send me, I will go.
It's no longer
I that breathe. For to me,
again, help me not to waste my life.
Help me not to waste my life on those things that matter not. Let me live with it.
And your purpose.
And your purpose for me, Lord.
All I have is yours to you.
Where you send me,
I will go. It's no longer
I will be. First of all,
just one life.
I have just one
life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, for Lord, in time.
And for all eternity.
I have just one life to live.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all eternity.
Third verse. Lord.
Lord, I have made up my mind to follow you till the end. I have taken up the cross. I have got no other choice.
Read me, Lord.
Read me, Lord, of all those things that make me unqualified as a vessel in your hands, so I can be useful, Lord.
Again.
Lord, I have made up my mind to follow you to the end. I have taken up the cross.
I have got no other choice.
I have got no other choice.
Oh, Lord.
Read me, Lord, of all those things that make me unqualified as a vessel in your hand.
So I can be useful, Lord.
So I can be useful,
Lord.
Lord,
I want
to know you more.
Lord,
I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will.
Lord,
I want to live for you.
Lord,
I want to know you more.
Just one life to live.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord,
in time. And for all eternity.
I have just one life to live.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord.
And for all eternity. I have just one life to live.
I have just
one life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord,
in time.
And for all eternity. I have just one life to live.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord,
in time.
And for all eternity.
Lift up your hands and tell the Lord, Lord, say after me, Lord, I am before you. I shall not waste my life. Help me, Lord, not to waste my life. Help me, Lord, to matter to this generation. Let my life matter to this generation. Help me not to waste my life. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray and speak to God.
Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live for you. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, and for all eternity. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you.
Voices and the timing.
Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want.
Lord, I want to know you more.
Lord, I want.
Lord, I want to see your face.
One more time.
Lord, I want.
Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will.
Lord,
I want to live for you.
I have just one life.
I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, in time, and for all eternity.
Oh,
I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you.
I am yours, O Lord.
And for all eternity.
I have just one life to live.
Lift your hands and maintain quietness everywhere. Those hands high. Say like a whisper. Say, Father, take this one life and use it for your glory. I surrender this one life to you. Use me for your glory. Oh Lord. That's right.
Receive the touch of his power.
I see the hand of God touching you. Touching you. Lift your hands. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive the touch of his hand to use you for his glory. Are you ready? Receive that touch. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3.
I
receive.
Receive.
Pray.
Receive. Lift your voice and pray. Jila marana mania. Rekepeke tekepele gadia. Ele tekepelina musa prelete. Ele kerevano subalina. Shele gadi. Raka balatane. Ina batele ketele gadia. Raka balatane gadia. Reto batele ketele gadia. Raka balatane gadia. Thank you.